Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and on our way to this conversation with Charles Lawler, who is running to become the Republican nominee in this gubernatorial race, let me remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. Money comes back in the end. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information, www.mecu.com. Or you can go to steinershow.org and click on MeQ Baltimore Credit Union banner. It's right there. And remind you on the way of this conversation that you can vote early in Maryland from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. through this Thursday, June the 19th. The primary election takes place Tuesday, June 24th. To find out where you can vote early and learn more about who's running, visit elections.state.md.us. But all across states listening to us, you can vote now. In fact, I plan to go do some early voting myself. But taking a man who likes early voting and voting in general is Charles Lawler, who joins us here in studio. Charles Lawler, of course, is a Republican candidate in the primary for governor, major in the United States Marine Corps Reserve, former chairman of New Day Maryland PAC, and good to have you in the studio, Charles.
Mark, I am so honored to be here. I'm starting to think I'm one of your favorites, brother. And I'm honored. I don't want to say that too loud because I don't want to try to swing. Well, I do want to try to swing voters one way or the other. But I'm honored to be here. My wife is joining me here in the studio this last big week. Yeah, she's pushing out there and hanging strong. And, Mark, there's just an overall excitement just from recent response polls back from early voting. We've got people coming up to the polls and saying, Charles, I've never voted Republican or for Republican in my life. I've changed my voting registrations for you. Back on June the 3rd, and I just finished voting for you, and they're just excited. There's just an energy. This is our opportunity.
410-319-8888 is the number here. You can write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Log on to our Facebook pages. Tweet us at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888. As we talk with Charles Lawler, who is, as I said, running to get the Republican nomination so he can run for governor this fall. By the way, I mean to tell you is that what you heard was Dem Bobo by Fene Kuti, who it's his birthday today, and we played his music during the break. So,
great.
Charles. So, some people are saying this could be the year for all kinds of upsets watching what happened in Virginia. They're saying it could be Lawler, it could be Mazier, it could be Mosby, it could be many things that are going to just turn things upside down in this election. That's possible. But I'm curious. I've asked all of your fellow candidates who've been here before, the Republican candidates, the same question. What separates you? I mean, I think people are having a hard time figuring that out.
Well, let's make sure we set the record clear. Two, if not three, things separate me from not just the Republican candidates, but also the Democratic ones, and it's leadership. And I do mean real private sector leadership and leadership in the United States Armed Forces. A lot of folks don't know that, but I lead and manage over 200 employees, 15 frontline managers, and a budget of $23 million a year when I was general manager of a Fortune 500 company here in Maryland. That's more than any of the other candidates combined. In addition to that, being a military leader, a Marine Corps officer, some of the most tenacious men and women on God's green earth, and having the honor to lead in combat as a infantry officer on the ground. Not a single other one of my competitors can say they've done the same thing. When it gets to turning things around, people know that Maryland's in a tough situation, in a tough state. They don't need any more professional politicians. They don't need any more people playing one end against the middle and being genial with these issues. We need to turn our state around, and they're looking for this Marine to get it done.
Turn our state around from what?
Okay, that's a great question. Great question.
What do you mean by that?
But it's purely economical. We have lost over 5,000 businesses in the past 7, if not 8 years. We're the second or third worst state in the country when it comes to business-friendly or even citizen-friendly. We need to roll back these 84 aggressive taxes and regulations and fees that have been imposed upon citizens that have caused tuition rates to go up. They've caused the economy to tank. Foreclosure rates, there's so many issues that we have right now because we've lost private sector business at the rapid rate. The only business growth we've had, or I should say employment growth we've had, has been in the public sector, whether it's state jobs or federal jobs. Now, I have nothing against those, Mark, and you know that. I'm a military officer, so I work and I benefit as a federal employee, as a Marine Corps officer. But when you run private jobs out of this state at the rate in which we've done, it creates an imbalance economically, which is why we still have a $200+ million structural deficit.
Well, here's the question, though. I mean, when you look at states that have done what you're suggesting, there's a mixed record. I mean, some can say, yes, there are four jobs, but a lot of those jobs that have been created are very low-paying jobs. You know, like we've lost Beth Steele, and we're bringing in Amazon. Beth Steele, which paid $35 an hour, we're bringing in Amazon, which pays $12 an hour or $10 an hour.
Yep.
So, but there's no difference in Texas or Virginia. Many of the jobs created there are the same kind of jobs paying very low wages.
Not necessarily.
But that is true, though. That's what the stats say.
Dan, thank you for making my point. We lost Bethlehem Steel, one of the strongest in that Aberdeen, Baltimore County area, one of the strongest employers there, plus so many others. We just spent some time over there in an interview with a local paper there. And, of course, replaced that with Amazon, which is lower per hour jobs. But that's because of the economic climate we currently have. We can change that if we become more competitive with our neighboring states and bring those private jobs back. What's the alternative, Dan? What's the alternative, Mark? Where else are we going to go if we don't make a decision now to say stop pushing private business out? Bring private business back, and let's get people gainfully employed. That includes manufacturing jobs in Baltimore City here and opening up an opportunity to drill for natural gas in Western Maryland.
Of course, there's a lot of people in the state who oppose the idea of drilling for gas and fracking in the state of Maryland because of the environmental disasters that have occurred in Pennsylvania and many other states.
Let's set the record straight there. The United States of America is now number one in exporting gas. Number one, we just took out Saudi Arabia and Canada. And the gas that we export is natural gas. Natural gas is being exported, and it's being done safely, environmentally, and safe across the state in so many areas currently and to date. There's no reason why we can't find a safe way to do the same thing. Now, there have been some problems, at least that I've read about, in a few of the states, but that is not in totality. In fact, the majority, and I'm going to say this strongly, the majority of fracking that goes on across this country is being done successfully, and we're becoming leader and best in exporting gas, something we've never had the privilege of doing here in this country since we, back in the 60s and 70s, started relying upon Saudi Arabia for fossil fuels.
So you don't support the idea of building more solar and more wind and less gas?
Oh, I didn't say that, Mark.
I'm asking you the question.
I am an all of the above candidate for governor when it comes to energy. It's going to take more than just natural gas. We do need solar energy. We do need wind energy. Yes, yes, and yes, and we need traditional energy. All I'm saying is this. Allow customers and the market to dictate what a family or what a citizen in this state wants. Let's not use the bully pulpit of the governorship and a budget to try to pick winners and losers. It becomes unfair to so many others that are trying to compete for their place and opportunity in the energy market.
What about if some of the people would argue with you that that will happen in the general election should you become the candidate for the Republican side, that would argue with you that it's not just the marketplace. What you're talking about are ways of fueling the energy of this country, coal and gas, that are polluting the air, that are causing climate change, that are polluting our rivers, that are also affecting the health and well-being of our children and communities.
Mark, to them I will say, I will ensure that I conduct the research. I'm not going to brisk away or just kind of shoo off safety concerns and regulations. I don't want my four children, my daughters, or my grandbaby drinking polluted water or living in a polluted Maryland. I want us to be healthy. I'm a big fan of making sure the Chesapeake Bay is cleaned up. I'm a big fan of finding alternative sources of energy that are clean burning, or at least when in terms of usage. But we need the all of the above effect, and I will ensure that research is conducted fairly, not partisanly, not from a perspective that helps to put more money in special interest pockets and cronyism in my partners so they can get a better opportunity to win these contractors. I'm going to do it the right way and use both sides on the research. Whether you're left-leaning or right-leaning, whatever that means, I'm bringing all people to the table to make sure that we're doing the best thing for climate and the best thing for energy for our state and then hopefully for our nation.
Charles Lawler is our guest. He is a private businessman. He is a major in the U.S. Marine Corps Reserves. He is running to become the Republican nominee for governor. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. Tweet me at Mark Steiner. You can chat me. You can also just write an email, steinershow@gmail.com, 410-319-8888. Let's go to the phones at 410-319-8888 as we talk with Charles Lawler. Michael, you're on the air. Michael, you there?
Saying that one of the most pressing concerns in the faith-based community is the bathroom law. My question to you is, given the fact that in the legislature we have one of the most moral and social order subversives that makes laws and of this kind by the name of Sandy Rosenberg, and even though you're sitting in front of somebody who was one of the most homophilic pro-perversion talk show hosts in the region, what can you do for people like us who in my particular case, I have a wife who goes to work out at a gym which is only women in Orange Mills. They don't want men there. And because of this law, it won't be long before some men will want to come in dressed like women and not only join them in their exercise but go into the bathroom and the showers. What can you do to prevent people like Sandy Rosenberg and Mark Steiner from having their way?
Thank you, Michael. Charles Lawler?
You know what? Let me answer your question directly and tell you I did not support this bill from its conception. I still don't support it now, and I'll tell you why. There's just as many male bathrooms as there are female bathrooms. This is not a discriminatory issue. And our legislators got this one flat wrong. This is not an opportunity to further discriminate against those that choose transgender lifestyles. I'm not saying that either. But here's what I am saying, and here's what is right from a public perspective. Male bathrooms are for men, and female bathrooms are for women. And whenever we have legislators down in Annapolis that spend 45 days and your tax dollars debating whether or not men or women, depending on how they feel on a certain day, by definition, it's ridiculous. They can go to a male bathroom or a female bathroom. That clearly shows you, sir, that they have way too much time on their hands. Here's what a Lawler administration will do. We're gonna push term limits. We're going to push term limits because we need to stop the career politician from finding wedge issues like these and create emotional debates to keep people splintered and segregated. We're also going to push to ensure that legislators meet every odd year instead of meeting every year.
Really?
Absolutely.
How are you supposed to get the job done if you meet every other year?
That's just it. Again, if they have time to debate for 45 days on a bathroom bill, they have too much time on
their
hands.
That's all they did in those 45 days.
I understand that, but they spent a lot of time on that.
That's what you're making it
sound like, though. And even 2 years ago, they spent the same amount of time instead of the Constitution. The Maryland Constitution says clearly that the legislatures are for three purposes, the budget and primary and secondary education. That should be the focus of the assembly. Go back 2 years ago when they spent 90% of their time focused on same-sex marriage and then had to call a special assembly to meet in the late summer and fall to get the budget passed. Again, misappropriation of funds. It's just dereliction of duty in the highest court, so highest count. So my concern is to get the career politician out of the seat completely so we can go back to the fundamentals of what legislature and the General Assembly is supposed to be for, and the bathroom bill is not one of them.
It was a transgender rights bill. It was a transsexual rights bill. It wasn't a bathroom bill.
I understand.
We like to use these pejorative terms about stuff when we don't agree with something.
Right.
I'm not saying you did it first.
It's like the rain tax when it's supposed to be the stormwater runner fee.
And debate what it is and what it isn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, with that particular bill, I don't want to get stuck in this the whole thing. So you're saying you don't believe that that people are transsexual.
I didn't say that. Here's what I did say. There's a male bathroom and there's a female bathroom for a reason. Even if we want to go as far, a private company wants to do this and use private funds at malls and other areas across our state and create separate non-gender bathrooms.
I meant to say, excuse me.
And create separate transgender bathrooms. That is their right to do so. But you don't take a male bathroom and a female bathroom and then say, okay, anyone can go there depending on whether they feel like they're transgender or not. That's not the right thing.
That's what I'm saying. You keep using what feels like as opposed to maybe they are.
Well, here's the problem.
That's what I'm pushing here.
But here's the problem. The problem is anyone can wake up on any given day and make a decision
whether
it is. A male can walk
into. That's not what this bill says.
A man can walk into a woman's bathroom.
No, that's not what this bill says at all. That's what the people are putting it out there. That really I read
the bill.
So have I, because we debated on the show. I mean, I just completely described. We can pull up the bill. My producers can in a moment, and we can lay it out. But let me ask another question. We talked about the stormwater tax. Let's wait this for a minute. So you talk about wanting to secure the Chesapeake Bay, make sure that it's healthy. But you and many others, Democrats and Republicans, have opposed the stormwater tax and have opposed the phosphorus.
Is it a tax or a fee?
I don't care. It's money coming out of somebody's pocket to protect the bay.
Because if it's a tax, churches shouldn't have to pay it.
Then it's a fee.
There you go. See? But have it your way.
But what I'm saying is that and the phosphorus management tool that the governor let go, pass again this year, and that many people don't agree with on the Republican side of the aisle. I mean, are you saying you don't agree with either of those two things? And if you do, then what's your plan to protect the bay?
Well, don't say I do, because I don't agree with
them. I'm saying if you do, then what's your plan?
I do not agree with the stormwater runoff fee at all. That's why I call it a rain tax purposely, although it is a fee. I don't agree with this this gender legislation or bathroom bill, as we affectionately call it. But going back to your question, we're the only state in the country that currently has a stormwater runoff fee. The only state. Why do we continue to adopt these policies that hurt Maryland first? Why do we continue to jump into these excessive legislations and these excessive money-making schemes that hurt Maryland first? Like, I'm going to tell you, like a fellow Democrat friend of mine said, he's Peter Franchot, the comptroller of Maryland. For Maryland to be number one in so many areas, why are we losing so many people and businesses at record levels? And why has the middle class shrunk faster than what he's seen in recent memory? If we keep doing this, we're going to keep pushing businesses out of the state, people out of the state. We're going to have nothing left to generate any type of revenue on. And before long, you think my measures are extreme. We're going to have to start cutting so many areas. Did you know, for example, we continue to count on almost $9 billion with a B in funding that comes in the form of grants and stimulus from the federal government just so that our general fund can be balanced? So when it comes to the stormwater runoff fee and this phosphorus management tool,
right,
I think it's built upon the wrong basis.
Well, how are you going to ensure the safety of the environment and making the bay healthy without it? Tell me how you do that without it.
It's easy. It's research. It's research that's not geared toward trying to establish an easy way for my crony friends to get more and more tax dollars from the state government.
What does that mean, research?
Case in point, Alan Hudson. Alan Hudson's farm out on the Eastern Shore. He was sued by the state of Maryland for what? For excessive nitrogen deposits.
He was not sued by the state of Maryland, let's be clear. He was sued by the University of Maryland Environmental Clinic and the River Keepers. He was not sued by the state of
Maryland. And the University of Maryland Clinic, whose tax dollars pay for the University of Maryland Clinic?
It's not a state government agency. It was not sued by the state. That's really incorrect.
Real quick.
You may not agree with the suit.
Answer this question, because I love this with you. It excites me to talk to you. Who funds the Maryland University Economic
Development? It's a public university. That's not
who
the point.
Who funds it? Who
That's
funds
not
it?
The point.
It does. Follow the stream of money, listeners. I'll tell you who funds it. Tax dollars funded from who? From Maryland citizens. That's who funds it.
Right.
So whether you want to call it,
and the same people who fight for the right of people to have lawyers at bail.
Whether you want to call it the University of Maryland or the state of Maryland, either one is your choice. But this man had his own. This man had his own tax dollars used against him to sue him for excessive nitrogen and phosphorus deposits supposedly found on his farm. When the lawsuit was all said and done, and I hope everyone's listening, he was found not guilty. In fact, he won the lawsuit. The farmer won the lawsuit because there were no excessive nitrogen and phosphorus deposits found on his farm. But here's the problem. It still cost this farmer $1 million in order to pay for his legal fees.
Which he never paid.
What a shame. Other people came, because he couldn't afford it. Other people came together in that community on Eastern Shore. My wife and I played a part and went down to one of his fundraisers to help raise money so this farmer would not lose his farm because the University of Maryland / State of Maryland decided to sue him.
It was not the State of Maryland. The State of Maryland would have been the AG's office or the Department of Environment. This was,
but they did use the Law Center attorneys from the University of Maryland,
the same way
which
they,
is further should share. At one of your listeners, it's the state of Maryland getting this thing done.
Well,
it's terrible.
I think
the leadership.
I think that's a complete misnomer. I mean, that's not correct. But anyway, 410-319-8888. You can disagree with it. That's fine.
I understand.
And I happen to like Michael Hutchins. He's a lovely guy. I've interviewed him. I met
Alan Hudson.
Alan, good guy. 410-319-8888. Gary in Baltimore County, you're on the air.
Yes, how you doing?
Good, Gary.
Yes, I just happened to get in on the thing when I jumped in my vehicle, and I'm making another stop. Mr. Walters there. I don't know who he is, but I found
Lawler, Charles Lawler.
Governor. He's going to be running for governor.
Republican. He's running for the Republican nomination for governor, yes.
Okay, and you're Mr. Steiner.
I am.
Yes. You agree with these transgender or these people that want to be, these men that want to be women to go into the bathroom. You agree with that? Yes or no question?
It's not a yes or no question, so I'm not going to also be put in a corner with a yes or no question because we're talking to Charles Lawler about his run for governor. So let me go back to that. I'm curious just about the science of fixing the bay. And I still haven't gotten an answer about what you would do.
Well, again, it goes back to proper research. That's why I wanted to use Alan Hudson as an example. I want to ensure that the research honestly is nonpartisan. What are we looking at? What's polluting the bay and where is it coming from? 60% of the pollutants, according to the research I've seen, doesn't even come from Maryland. It actually comes down the off the Conowingo Dam, down the Susquehanna River, which is a main tributary, into the Chesapeake Bay. If that is the case, then what are we doing to dredge, for example, the Conowingo Dam? What are we doing to bring the states like New York and Pennsylvania and Delaware and West Virginia?
But you're governor of the state of Maryland. What are you going to do about dealing with the issues in the state of Maryland?
That's the beauty of it. When the EPA passed their mandate, sir, they passed it on six different states to include Maryland.
But what are you going to do as governor of the state of Maryland is what I want to know.
That's my point. Because the EPA made the mandate on six states, it was implied that the six states should work together to find
it.
That's it. Great. Welcome to Charles Lawler for governor. Because we have a Martin O'Malley that's made up a mind that he wants to go out and try to become president of the United States and be as far left as the current president or incoming Hillary Clinton that he possibly can, becoming the environmental candidate. He's forgotten his responsibility to be arbitrator, to be a worker with partnering governors so we can clean up this Chesapeake Bay issue. Charles Lawler will do that.
That you talk about. If you call O'Malley or Hillary Clinton far left, which you just did.
Actually, I said O'Malley's trying to be more left than Hillary Clinton. Yes, I did say that.
But you also talked, like the other day at this forum, we were the only Republican at the forum.
Yeah.
About trying to be a governor that reaches across those lines.
Yes.
How can you reach across those lines if you're going to start slinging mud saying somebody's left wing?
Well, no. Well, left wing has negative connotations to it.
For some people.
Yes, it does.
Right.
But for others, it's a positive connotation.
For some people.
But my words are a point of fact. When you're trying to become the environmental candidate for president in 2016, there are certain things that you will do, and in my opinion, some of which have been a dereliction of duty for what he should have done here in Maryland. But my word stands firm. I don't want to be the best Republican governor I can be. I don't want to be the best Democratic governor I can be. I want to be the best governor for Maryland I can be, and that means focusing on my state. Not focusing on what's going on for my next run for president, or trying to find more ways to take more money through taxes, which I consider to be family funds, away from the citizens of Maryland and skyrocket tuition fees and other fees. What I want to do is I want to work with the legislature to find common sense answers to Maryland's problems.
You've mentioned the tuition fees several times in this conversation. So
at least twice.
Yeah.
Going on a third time in a second.
You're a good mathematician, Charles Lawler.
I love you.
Good mathematician. We can win or lose. We can take this show on the road.
But okay. So, I'm all in. It'll have to be after 4 years, but I'm all in.
So talk about tuition. I'm curious what your plan would be to deal with the rising tuition rates.
Yes.
In Maryland, because they really have gotten out of hand. One of the things, the University of Maryland, Towson University, many other universities, Morgan has, compared to some of the others, has relatively lower tuition, though students here are more working class and often have to spend 6 years to get out because they can't afford to get through school.
Yes, sir.
They have a misnomer at Morgan that kids come here and then they don't graduate. No, they just take longer to graduate because they actually have to work for a living
to get through
school.
That's right.
So and they work hard to do that.
Yes, sir.
So the question is, what do you do as governor to address the issue?
First and foremost, we recognize the fact that we are in the top 10 most corrupt states in the country because—
That's a heavy allegation.
It is. Well, Baltimore Sun actually wrote it. The Post picked up on it as well. And your followers can simply Google most corrupt states according to Baltimore Sun and Post and find out where they got the figures from. But along with that, you have to recognize it's because of the way we transfer funds to the General Assembly. We'll rob one fund and put into another, and we do it honestly all the time. We rob the transportation fund. We rob the education fund. I had the honor of sitting down with university and college presidents across the state of Maryland not even 3 days ago and had this very same conversation of what I would do to lower costs. Coming out of first and foremost, it's called benchmarking. We want to benchmark other states and what they do in terms of in terms of keeping tuition low. Like, for example, in Georgia, they have the Hope Scholarship. When they passed their lottery bill about a decade ago, they committed to actually 20 years ago. They committed every penny during the Zell Miller administration. Every penny would go to education. They kept their word. Now, every student in Georgia that gains a 2.7 GPA higher goes to an in-state college for free. Now, we just passed a gambling bill. We were committed. We have sold a Bill of Rights that every penny from this gambling bill would go to education. Guess what? We grossed over $300 million last year, and barely one-eighth of it went to education. It went to transportation. It went to the general fund. We're trying to finance a Purple Line that we still have not gained the rest of the revenues in order for us to complete the project, and we haven't even started the groundwork on it. So what will our administration do? We'll benchmark with other states. We'll use the money that goes into education for what it's supposed to be used for and not allow for it to be robbed. One university president said, we're the Peter on this because we're always getting robbed from our education fund to go elsewhere. These are things that we can do immediately to start finding and drawing the cost of tuition down for our Maryland residents.
Charles Lawler? We're done for the day.
No way.
Tell folks real fast where they can contact your campaign.
They can contact us at Lawler, L-O-L-L-A-R, like dollar except with an L, Lawler, the number 4governor.com. That's Lawler like dollar except with an L, Lawler, the number 4governor.com. Feel free to reach out to us. We need your support for this primary and then for the general election to bring a new way forward to Maryland.
Charles Lawler, always good to see you.
You too.
On the way out of here, reminding you that you can vote early in Maryland from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. through this Thursday, June the 19th. The primary election takes place on Tuesday, June 24th. Find out where you can vote early and learn more about who's running by visiting elections.state.md.us. And the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland State Education Association. From school funding to Common Core, you can learn about the important issues affecting Maryland students, parents, and schools by visiting the Maryland State Education Association's website at marylandeducators.org. That's one word, MarylandEducators.org. And the Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineers, Andrea Melchin. Our interns are Alex Boston, Matt Malice, and Sienna Greaves. You can hear the show podcasted again by going to SteinerShow.org and find out how to contact people like Charles Lawler. It'll all be on our website. You can also listen to and download our podcast on iTunes. And you're listening now to Tupac Shakur, California Love. Today is his birthday. And for Public Radio WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.